We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
What's going on, everyone? The Mountaineer Insider Podcast on the air. It's another week, and we have a whole lot of information to digest as we inch our way closer and closer to the 2020 football season. Yep, I think we can confidently at this juncture say that we're going to be playing football. At least every effort is being made, and some real significant strides, I think, have been met. Schedule formats have been decided upon by all of the Power 5 conferences. The Big 12, by now, or at the point in which you're listening to this podcast, you may actually see the revised WVU 2020 schedule. It's going to be the 9 conference games plus 1. There's going to be plenty of padding put into it with a number of bye weeks, and we're going to get all of that information here in an exclusive interview with Shane Lyons. So thanks for joining us here on our MSN podcast. So let's sort of unravel all of it. We know that it's been a crazy week. We know that a lot has been thrown around, and it's like watching a tennis match, reading the reports, because everything is so fluid and ever-changing. So just to give you a little bit of background on this podcast, I think it would be best, before you listen to this, because we're going to have Shane in just a moment, to go ahead and listen to and or watch the interview that Tony Caridi did on WVUSports.com with Shane. So Shane answered a lot of questions, spent a better part of a half an hour with Tony talking about, well, essentially every question that you could possibly want answered. Tony, I think, as he usually does, his usual terrific job of discussing, you know, the schedule itself, how many buys are going to be built in, the opt-out question. They get into finances and exactly how devastating COVID-19 has been to college athletic departments and WVU in particular. The fan question is answered, fan priority, season tickets, COVID protocols, everything. It was really, really covered. So what I did is, after listening to and watching that interview, I took some notes, and there were a few things that I did want to follow up with Shane on from Tony's interview. So a lot of this interview is going to be digging a little bit deeper, asking a follow-up question, or getting into a few subtopics to drill down. So if I think the best listening experience is served, and you can just hit pause on this podcast, dig up the interview, WVUsports.com. It's readily available. And on the Twitter timeline, if you want to go ahead and do it that way, to get the background and the understanding of the nuts and bolts, right? So the basis of how we're going to do things today is largely based on Caridi's interview with Shane. Then what I do is I take, so for instance, Shane mentions that there's going to be groupings within the Big 12 to try to mirror the schedules in some respects or break them up into pods. Well, what does that mean? That's discussed and clarified by Shane. He does mention that there's going to be that 5-4 priority home versus away that was originally scheduled. That's not going to get blown up. So, for instance, the Mountaineers, they're going to have their 5 home games as they were originally promised. I asked a question because I thought it was really important, is what is Shane Lyons learning as not only WVU athletic director, but chairing the oversight committee on the football side of things. Major League Baseball, they have had their struggles with COVID. Outbreak in the Marlins clubhouse, the St. Louis Cardinals have had some issues. So baseball not exactly handling this perhaps as best as they can. They are outside of the bubble like the NHL and the NBA, which, I mean, continues to put up ridiculously positive numbers, in fact, perfect numbers as it pertains to COVID. So what are they learning from the successes and or failures of both models? How do they apply that out here to a college situation? And also, as it pertains to finances, how do you dig out of this shortfall? How long is it going to take? $18 million, which Shane is throwing that number out there right now. He gives context to that number. And also the optimism level that he has that this thing can be pulled off. The so what now what question. You know, this schedule is largely constructed due to the anticipation of, and not being naive to the fact that there will be players or staff members and or staff members that test positive for COVID-19 throughout the course of the year. That's why the schedule was constructed with 3 to potentially 4 bye weeks as it is. So what is the protocol when somebody tests positive in the middle of the season? And we get a retrospective as well as it pertains to what West Virginia has already dealt with a few weeks ago on the COVID-19 front with some positive tests, not only within the football program, but athletic department as a whole with other teams. So stay with us. Maybe even just hit pause, come back to us after you watch and listen to the interview with Tony and Shane, and then follow up with my interview here. If you want to call it a part 2, if you want to call it a part of the sequel, I'm more than happy to go ahead and do that as well. So stay with us or come back to us. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast with WVU Athletic Director Shane Lyons is directly ahead right after this.
At Encova Insurance, we encircle you with insurance solutions you can trust. We provide coverage to protect what you care about. Business insurance, including workers' compensation, auto, home, and life insurance. What makes us unique? Our superior financial strength, smart technology, a one-stop shop for custom-tailored solutions. Encova 360, our approach to workers' compensation and local decision-making. We are Encova Insurance. Visit Encova.com for more information.
Well, Shane, thanks so much for doing this and making some time to drill even a little bit deeper. I've already directed people to the sit-down that you had with Tony. I think that that's important because that's essentially going to be the basis and the crux of our conversation so we can, again, peel back the layers of the onion. You did a pretty good job, obviously, explaining what went into the scheduling, but I do just want to confirm that the reason why we the Big 12, are only going to the 9+1 is, and as we've learned so far in the restart of sport, you absolutely have to plan for bumps along the way and for there to be presumed positive cases throughout the course of the year. So was that really the driving factor of building in the buys and essentially limiting yourself to the 9+1 format?
Yeah, Dan, it really was. I mean, there's two things there. You know, one, as you said, to have the flexibility. you know, we don't want to go into this blind and thinking that we're going to be able to play a normal season and not have bumps in the road, as you mentioned. So we built in, or trying to build in, some bye weeks in order if a game is not played due to a team having an outbreak in the virus, that there's a great possibility that game could be made up during that bye week. We also are looking at, you know, starting a little bit later, and that's due to, you know, return to campus of students across the Big 12 and allowing a little bit of flexibility on the front end as well to make sure there's no outbreaks on campus, et cetera. So we're trying to build it in on the front end and, of course, build some flexibility on the back end as well.
And you did mention, and I wanted to get a little further clarification and maybe some more information, Shane. You said with Tony that the teams in the Big 12 will be broken up into pods. Can you try to explain what that means, what it is, why you're doing it, and its potential benefits?
I think, Dan, the thing that's important to look at here is, first of all, and I didn't say it on the show today, was allowing the scheduling model to remain the same for us to have 5 home games and 4 away games this year, and all, obviously that alternates every other year. What the schedule is going to try to do, Dan, is have 2 or 3 games in a row that there's common opponents in those 2 or 3 weeks. So if you do have an outbreak on that off week, there's a greater chance to be able to play that game on that bye week for one of the 3 opponents that you may have had a delay. So we are building in that, you know, change in case we have the bump in the road to be able to change that date and use the bye date as a play date, you know, if that happens. And that it's not going to be throughout the season. It'll be kind of the way the schedulers will work, and it, of course, is getting into the weeds and guys a lot smarter than me and trying to figure all this stuff out. But what they're trying to do is, like you said, is pair, you know, certain schools up with each other and then have the opportunity, if there's a bump in the road, to play that during the bye week.
Yeah, well, that's good. Obviously, a lot of folks are thinking, Shane, that the bye week is reserved for just presumed positive cases, but conceivably, in the event that a game is canceled or postponed because of something COVID-related, you could theoretically move up a game or play the next week that was a bye could become a game week, essentially is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for example, let's just say that we start on September 19th, and, you know, we play the 26th, and then the next weekend we would have off. You know, if for some reason on the 19th we couldn't play, the 26th we would play, and then that date in October that we thought was a bye, there's a good chance that we can make up the September 19th game that day. So that's how that the schedulers is putting it together to hopefully, you know, accommodate those possible postponements or cancellation of games.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get to, because obviously I work very closely in the baseball sphere, and one of the issues that they're running into is if you shut a team down for 3 games, or they miss 7 games in the case of the Marlins or the St. Louis Cardinals, that's what they're working through now, is how do you maintain the integrity and the structure of a complete schedule, especially when you're talking about those within your division. So the purpose is to essentially postpone and not cancel games under the worst case scenario, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, what we're trying to do is have all of us finish 9 games in the league and have that flexibility, as you mentioned. So, you know, that 3 or 4 weeks, probably most likely 3 weekends, you would have the bye weeks that you could make up games if needed. And as you said, Dan, it helps protect the integrity of the schedule and everybody playing the same opponents the same amount of time.
Yeah. As it pertains to baseball, NHL, the NBA, the NHL and the NBA, of course, are playing in bubbles. Baseball is not. You could say that hockey and basketball are having far more success than baseball, Shane. So a two-part question here. One, how much are you paying attention to what the professional sport leagues are doing? What are you learning from their successes or failures? And secondly, the feasibility of a bubble for college football players, or at least some modified version thereof. So that's a tough one there for you, I think.
Yeah, you know, and again, we're all watching it very closely, Dan, to see what's happened. You know, but we're not like the professional leagues and only have a small number of teams. Obviously, you know, in the NBA, it's a lot easier to play in the bubble than it is, you know, 130 Division One, you know, playing football programs, and how do you work through that? Plus, you know, our student athletes are just that. They're student athletes, so they're also, you know, have class schedules in some cases and online classes. So it's a lot more difficult. But I will say that I think our student athletes understand the risk that, you know, it takes when you're going out in public, and they've been promoting, Dan, wearing the mask and social distancing. You know, we had our fair share of positive tests in July. I think that was kind of a waking moment for some of the student athletes to say, hey, if we're going to be able to play football this fall, you know, we got to, you know, do the job ourselves by making sure that we're taking care of ourselves from a health standpoint. And maybe my social activities have to be cut back a little bit. But, you know, we've talked about the bubble and how do we do that in college sports if we can. And, you know, logistically, you just can't get there.
Is there any way to do a modified version or maybe any other measures outside of what you're already doing, Shane? Or is the course of action that everybody has decided on essentially the best case scenario under this set of circumstances?
You know, I think we've all, you know, gone through all these exercises, Dan, and I think we've ended up in the best situation that we think we can. And again, Coach Brown, from a football standpoint, is going to be practicing a little bit different. It's not going to be bringing 100 and, you know, roughly 10 guys on the roster together all at one time. You know, we talk about pods. He's going to have different practice units that, you know, in case somebody is, you know, comes down with the virus, the contact tracing and, you know, making sure that those individuals that are in the pods together, they may be roommates as well. So, you know, there's some strategy that you have to apply in practice. Now, the thing that we can't control, Dan, other than talking to our student athletes and educating them, is what they do after they walk out of the football facility, and we're not around them. So, like, you know, team meetings, we're not taking everybody into a team meeting. We'll still continue having team meetings and position meetings by Zoom. So it's just going to be a little bit different this year. How, you know, you modify your practices and try to keep the student-athletes safe and try to get 10 football games in.
You mentioned that earlier this summer it was a bit of a waking moment, not necessarily just on the football front, but from the entire athletic department's front. Do you maybe not breathe a sigh of relief? I don't think you can do that yet, and you're not going to be doing that anytime soon, Shane. But are you maybe happy that something like that happened early on to be that bucket of cold water in the face that was a reminder that, hey, this is real. It can happen in Morgantown. It can happen to anybody, rather than this happening obviously in mid-September.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily use the word happy it happened, but you know, when you're going through it, it wasn't a lot of fun. But actually looking back on it, Dan, I do think it was a waking moment to understand that, you know, all of us are very susceptible to catching the virus, and we have to do our own parts to, you know, prevent doing that. And, you know, if that's going to local establishments and going to house parties and different things that could happen when you're in very close quarters with a lot of different people, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. So, you know, again, I think everything in life, there's a learning moment. And I think that our athletes, you know, realize in our community as a whole that, you know, this virus can spread, and it can spread pretty quickly. And we have to take the appropriate measures to make sure that we do our part as not only as the athletic department, the university, and community, but as a state as a whole, that, you know, we you know, do what we can to prevent the spread of the virus.
Shane, let's work and I hate to do this, in worst-case scenarios. You're anticipating a positive test or some form or fashion of turbulence in the football season, hence the scheduling. Let's say, heaven forbid, something does happen. The so what, now what? What is the protocol? Is that still being worked on? Has it been refined? Is it in place? Can you give us sort of an update on that as you anticipate essentially something happening? Hope you don't have to use the plan, but if it does happen, what's that going to be?
Yeah, Dan, our protocols is obviously we're going to test, you know, once a week and see what that looks like. And if you do end up having a positive, then you have to also work through the contact tracing. And that's what I said, we're working through some modified, you know, models of practicing and what that's going to look like. And Coach Brown and his staff have done a great job. What we don't have, Dan, is, you know, somebody has the virus or catches the virus, obviously they're going to be put in isolation, you know, for approximately 10 to 14 days. In addition, you do the contact tracing, and those individuals have to also be quarantined, you know, for that similar amount of time. What you don't want is not to have, and how you pair it up, that you could end up having, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 guys that, because of contact tracing, that get put out, as opposed to having your numbers of 15, 20, 25 guys that you know, would be have to set out because of contact tracing. So, you know, we have protocols in place. Again, we don't know if they're foolproof yet and how they'll work, but I think the summer has taught us a lot, you know, how to head into the season and safeguard from not only our student-athlete standpoint, but, you know, across the board, making sure that if we want to play football that, you know, we don't lose a large number of players because of being positive or being involved in contact tracing.
Shane, are you satisfied with the testing process, the availability of it, the ability to get things turned around and results in the event that something happens to a marquee player or any student-athlete for that matter? Because there have been some organizations and some entities that have run into some testing issues.
Yeah, I think testing issues, Dan, across the country are an issue, and the results and the time to get the results back is an area of concern. And so as we speak, you know, that's going to be something in the coming weeks that we continue to work with and testing the labs to try to verify that if we test on Wednesday, which is part of the resocialization plan of the NCAA, that you test 72 hours before your competition, that we have those results back if we got to get on an airplane on Friday afternoon. So you're really looking at less than a 48-hour turnaround if you're traveling. So, you know, those are things that in the coming weeks we have to work with the appropriate labs, set priorities, you know, for our football team in that case, to see if we can get, you know, the labs to work with us to be able to get those tests back in a quick manner. But right now, when we first started testing, Dan, we were probably getting tests back within 24 to 48 hours. And now some of our tests, you know, they're taking up anywhere from 3 to 5 days, and in some cases a little bit longer.
Shane, I do want to follow up on a couple of financial questions from Tony's interview. You mentioned that you guys hit the nail on the head, unfortunately, about the $5 million shortfall for this past year, looking and projecting to the 2021 budget, potentially a $12 million hole. You're looking at all in an $18 million shortfall. It could get worse, apparently, and not to be all doom and gloom, but I do wonder, and I'm sure fans are wondering, how long do you anticipate something like this, assuming you return to normal sooner rather than later, this taking us to get out of? Are we looking at a 3 to 5 year deal where we're getting a shovel and we're digging out of this thing, or can it be recuperated fairly quickly?
Yeah, I do think, Dan, it's not going to happen quickly. I do think it's a 3 to 5 year, maybe even a little bit longer. So it's, you know, we're going to have to plan for the worst and hope for the best here as we move forward. But, you know, I do think that, you know, as I said today, it's, you know, we're starting out just knowing right up front that we started out in about a $12 million deficit, you know, knowing that, you know, going to season and where our ticket sales were and our fundraising efforts. You know, the question out there is whether, you know, you can continue to have fans, which, you know, we'll continue working on and what that's going to look like. And, you know, we haven't even talked about basketball yet and what that looks like, which is another revenue stream.
There are some other institutions. You mentioned Wisconsin projecting a $75 to $100 million shortfall. What goes into the disparity there, Shane? Is that essentially size of the institution and how robust they are or were? Or is it are there other factors that go into that? Because in the grand scheme of things, $18 million and upwards of $100 million, that's a large disparity. And I just wanted to ask you that.
And that's true. That's true, Dan. But, you know, I'm giving you as of today. If I'm going to a worst-case scenario,
gotcha.
We're probably looking at, you know, probably $60 to $70 million worst case out of a $93 million budget. Wisconsin's talking roughly a $100 million deficit out of about a $130 million budget, I think they're at. So, you know, I think what Wisconsin was talking about is if we don't play football, and here's the situation. My $12 million is on speculation that and assumptions that we are going to play football. If we don't play football, that number keeps continuing to climb, you know, each week. So each football game, you know, roughly is, you know, millions of dollars, you know, from a TV contract with the conference. So if we lose weeks, you know, in our TV contracts, and we have roughly about 57 spots that we have to fill, you know, if we don't fill those, you know, you're talking millions and millions of dollars that's going to cost the conference in turn. You know, they distribute that to us. So in worst case scenarios, not playing football, you are probably looking at a $60 to $70 million deficit. And that $60-70 million counts, you know, obviously your TV revenue, your ticket revenue, your sponsorships, you know, revenue. So there's a lot of things that go into that, you know, line item that pertain to football.
Yeah, no, that's a great clarification, and I appreciate you doing that, Shane. Well, we'll end this on a positive note, because largely it's the doom and gloom and fallout from a lot of the things that could go wrong. But there are, at the end of the day, I think some things going right, Shane, in proper context, we try to put it. And you mentioned to Tony that you're more optimistic than you were perhaps a week or two ago. And as we move forward here, we anticipate optimism, I think, moving forward. So that's a good thing, I think, to give folks something to hang their hat on at day's end.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, as I said today, Dan, it's kind of been a roller coaster ride here since March. And, you know, as we get closer to the date, you know, today I'm more optimistic than I was yesterday. Obviously, this thing is very fluid and can change, you know, in a moment. We've seen that as we progress down this path. But, you know, I think that, you know, as we get closer to the season and we're doing things across college athletics to make this happen, and you know, I think we feel pretty good in the Big 12 conference across the board as well as the other conferences that, you know, that we have a good chance of making this work. Again, it can change on a dime, but, you know, we're optimistic that, you know, we'll have a chance to play some football come September.
Shane, I appreciate the updates. I appreciate you drilling deeper with us. I know you've probably grown wary of talking about this as you do it 12 to 15 hours a day, but nevertheless, I know Mountaineer Nation is most appreciative to hear your voice, and they are certainly, I think, quite comfortable with you holding the wheel steady here as we navigate the choppy waters. So thanks again, Shane. Be well. Stay safe. Let's go get this thing done here at the end of the day, and I'll let you close this out with your signature parting line.
Well, thanks, Dan, and appreciate Mountaineer Nation for sure, and let's go Mountaineers.
Special thanks to Shane Lyons for spending that valuable time with us, and we hope you learned something from this particular podcast. Again, to use it almost as a two-parter in tandem with Tony's interview, I thought we were able to accomplish a lot. So between his interview, my interview here, we have almost an hour of candid content from, one of the most important people right now in college football, and that is Shane Lyons, period. End of sentence. As chair of the Football Oversight Committee, we're so fortunate to have him in the position that he is in and holding the wheel during these choppy waters. He's got it at 10-2, if I do say so myself, after listening to Tony's interview and having the conversation that we did here. So stand by. We'll give you a few final thoughts, and we'll be back in just a moment.
User.
Addict.
Disease. They chose to do drugs.
Heard her daughter can't stay clean.
Those people are dangerous.
If they can't stop using, it's their own fault.
Recognize that? It's the sound of stigma. And it keeps West Virginians with opioid use disorder from seeking treatment, celebrating recovery, and living a normal life. Visit stigmafreewv.org to see how words can make a world of difference for all of us.
All right, we're about out of time here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Things are, as they say, subject to change. That's one thing that we've all had to learn here over the last 5 months or so, to figure out a way to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And there's a lot of things that are uncomfortable right now in our lives and about this football season, quite frankly. But we're going to try. We're going to do our best to navigate through it. And I certainly understand and sympathize, and I can speak on behalf of the department here and anybody that wears the old gold and blue. It may be very difficult for a lot of you to not be there in person. But what we can do is we can describe the sights, we can bring you the sounds, and try to make it as normal as certainly possible for you. But that remains to be seen as to what it's going to look like inside of a stadium. But if we're granted the opportunity to be there to report back to you and give you the latest, we're going to do that as best as we possibly can during these unusual times. So with that, hail West Virginia, let's go Mountaineers as always, and we will talk to you next week, perhaps with more updates, twists, turns. We certainly hope good news, but nevertheless, we will talk to you next week, and we will describe the stories to you as best as we possibly can. So Dan Zangrilli signing off. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.